Good morning and welcome to our March 2nd Rules Committee meeting. I am your Chair, Supervisor Shimon Walton. I'm joined by Vice Chair Supervisor Stephen Sherrill and soon to be joined by President Mandelman. Our clerk today is Victor Young, and we are joined by Jamie Echeverry with SFGov TV, who will make sure that this meeting is publicized and that information is made to the public. Mr. Clerk, do we have any announcements?
Yes, public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. Where your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Rules Committee Clerk, at victor.young@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will be included as part of the file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. mail to our office in City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Documents to be included as part of the file should be submitted to the clerk. Items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of March 10, 2026, unless otherwise stated. That completes my initial announcements.
Thank you so much, Mr. Clerk. Would you please call item number one?
Item number one is a hearing to consider appointing one member term ending September 7, 2026, and one member term ending September 6, 2027 to the Assessment Appeals Board number three.
Thank you so much. And so I believe we have candidate Elena Rifkin who is here. And if you would come up and just tell us a little bit about yourself, why you want to serve.
Thank you so much. Is this the appropriate place to serve?
Either one works.
Thank you. Good morning, Board of Supervisors and members of the Rules Committee. As stated, my name is Elena Rifkin. It would be my pleasure to serve on the board. I believe my experience is well aligned with the requirements of this role. First off, I'm presently an administrative law judge with the California Unemployment Insurance Appeals Board. I've been acting as an ALJ since 2023. In this role, I conduct hearings approximately 31 per week, primarily with self-represented litigants. The topic of my hearings relates to generally unemployment and disability appeals. Prior to becoming an administrative law judge, I was an attorney in private practice. My focus was on real estate litigation. Through my practice in real estate litigation, I had issues related to title disputes, quiet title actions, partition actions, real estate transfers, mortgage finance related matters. I would also review deeds, title history, ownership claims, and I advised clients on various real estate and business transactions. I have some foundational knowledge of Proposition 19. I understand how to review operating agreements as well as draft them. I have a basic understanding of estate planning, including drafting trusts and wills. I really enjoy being an administrative law judge in my present role, and I believe that my experience and my background would allow me to serve the city and county of San Francisco. I would be thrilled to serve in this role. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I don't see any questions or comments from colleagues at this time. Mr. Clerk, would you please go to public comment on this item?
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak on this matter? There are no speakers on this matter.
Thank you, seeing no speakers. Public comment is now closed. And I do just want to say thank you for being willing to serve this. Obviously, our appeals board, the work is necessary, but it can also be tedious. A lot of information and a lot of hours to be put into this work. And so I appreciate you being willing to serve. And with your professional experience, I have no doubt you will be an asset to the appeals board. So I would like to make a motion to appoint Elena Rifkin to seat three with the residency waiver and move to the full board with a recommendation.
Yes, on the motion to appoint to seat three with the residency requirement waived. Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you so much.
Motion
carries. Thank you. Mr. Clerk, would you please call item number two?
Item number two is an ordinance approving the police surveillance technology policy for electronic location tracking devices and making required findings.
Thank you so much. And I believe we have Stephen Lopez with SFPD Government Affairs Unit who is here to present this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Walton, Vice Chair Cheryl, and President Melman. My name is Brent Bradford. I'm a lieutenant with the San Francisco Police Department. With me is Acting Commander Stephen Jonas, Acting Captain Daniel Silver, and Government Affairs Manager Carl Nikita. Today, we'll be presenting the department's 19B policy concerning our use of electronic location tracking devices. As part of the Administrative Code 19B, SFPD must seek approval from the Board of Supervisors concerning our use of electronic location tracking devices. This policy is governed authorized users, prohibited and restricted uses, safeguards, and data control and oversight. Aside from covering all electronic location tracking devices, this policy will also apply to our use of StarChase, a Prop E pilot technology. Next slide, please. Electronic location tracking devices reveal location and movement by electronic signal. The department utilizes the following devices: GPS tracking devices, radio frequency identification tracking devices, radio frequency beacons, and StarChase, a vehicle-mounted GPS tracking system, which is in its pilot use. These pieces of equipment are subject to the same policy limits and safeguards. These devices are only to be used for the following purposes: execution of a valid judicial warrant or recognized warrant exception, such as consent searches or exigent circumstances, vehicle pursuit mitigation, consistent with SFPD General Order 5.05 and Administrative Code 96.2. Additionally, theft abatement operations this could be used in. Use of this technology outside these parameters is prohibited. These devices shall not be used in the following manner: to monitor, harass, intimidate, or discriminate based on protected characteristics, to enforce prohibitions of gender-affirming care, reproductive care, or related travel, any civil immigrant enforcement purpose consistent with San Francisco Sanctuary City Ordinance and or the California Values Act, for non-law enforcement-related purposes. StarChase has an additional restrictions that tracking must cease and the device must be removed once the target vehicle is apprehended. Use of this technology is limited to lawful purposes and defined scenarios. Role-based access is for authorized personnel only. CJIS compliant security, encryption, and audit logs. SFPD is a sole custodian of all collected data. Data sharing is strictly limited to lawful, criminal, and administrative processes in compliance with state and local laws. Use of this technology is subject to chain of command supervision. All members who utilize the technology must complete training on authorized and prohibited uses. Misuse of the technology is subject to review by the Internal Affairs Bureau, the Department of Police Accountability, and Chapter 19B enforcement. Corrective actions must be reported as required by law. When used within policy limits, StarChase provides the following benefits. It provides officers with an alternative to high-risk vehicle pursuits. It allows officers to disengage while maintaining location awareness. And it supports safer apprehension methods, reducing safety risks to the public. Again, our primary objective is always maximizing public safety and risk reduction. Next slide. This time, I'd like to take a quick moment to kind of highlight a case in point that shows the ability of what StarChase gives to the police department members, especially the patrol force. StarChase launching system was deployed for the first time by the department's citywide plainclothes team on December 18, 2024. From December of 2024 through December of 2025, StarChase has been successfully deployed 17 times. The cases in which StarChase has been deployed cover a variety of criminal activity to include street-level robberies and auto burglaries, as well as stolen automobiles. Having the ability to use technologically advanced tools such as the StarChase allows the police department to successfully apprehend subjects while not placing the public in risk while initiating high-risk vehicle pursuits. A case I'd like to highlight occurred on September 12th of 2025. A member of the Real-Time Investigative Center, known as the ARTIC, received an alert of a stolen vehicle through our Flock license plate reader system. Based on this alert, another member of the Real-Time Investigative Center was able to then deploy a drone to the area and monitor the stolen vehicle, with the driver having no clue that any of this was occurring. The drone unit maintained visual of the stolen vehicle and while putting the vehicle description and location for patrol units to be on lookout for. A patrol unit in a neighboring district that was equipped with a vehicle-mounted Star Chase dart recognized the location of the subject was traveling and prepositioned itself to assist with the apprehension of the suspect. Once the patrol unit recognized there were sufficient units were on scene for a safe apprehension, officers attempted to pull the vehicle over. The suspect vehicle attempted to flee from the officers but did not know that Star Chase dart had been successfully deployed onto the stolen vehicle. The vehicle fled the area, having no idea Star Chase was deployed or that that vehicle was now being monitored. With assistance of outside agencies, the driver of this vehicle was successfully placed under arrest in the city of Oakland. The owner of the vehicle was reunited with his truck. I believe this case highlights the use of Star Chase as a pursuit alternative and also highlights the coordinated efforts made by our officers on a day-to-day basis to keep the city straight. I believe that in conclusion, if any questions or anything regarding the presentation, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Thank you so much. I don't see any questions from colleagues, but I do have a few questions. So for clarity, what is a theft abatement operation?
A theft abatement would be like, it could be an auto burglary theft abatement. It runs kind of a variety of different things. They have, you have planned events. It could be retail theft. Different criteria, so it's kind of a broad spectrum.
But like, what's an example? Like, what do you do in those operations?
Like, for like a vehicle theft one, sir?
What, whichever one you want to give a.
Right. So, like, if you we want to look at it, the auto burglary theft abatement was a pronounced one in the city for a long time. So, in those scenarios, officers would kind of target the high crime areas where those crimes were happening more than others, and additionally, they'd be looking at history of flock. The LPR system of those cars, their suspect vehicles, if they're coming in, and kind of saturate those areas to kind of mitigate the auto burglary epidemic that we were having at one point. So that's one of the examples of the theft abatement. It's kind of using as many resources as we can and targeting a specific crime, usually with a defined train objective.
And being at SFPD is the sole custodian of data, how are we ensured that this data is only available to PD?
Yes.
Secure.
Right, absolutely. So we would share only with other law enforcement agencies at a city or state level, not with a federal, not when you're not dealing with an ICE sharing or anything that would impede upon someone's right for reproductive rights. It would just be through a law enforcement agency, and we'd have to have make sure the commanding officer of that unit that's doing the sharing is making sure all those criteria are met.
And how do we know that the data is secure?
How do we know that that is what?
Secure.
It's through the Star Chase system. There's a 3-year retention. Everything is held on their server, and it's just for us. So we could always, one of our officers or lead officers could go pull that information, but Star Chase does not share with anything else. It'd have to come through SFPD to an outside agency. Star Chase does not share our info.
And but Star Chase, along with PD, has the same information?
Correct, sir.
And then, so how are we guaranteeing that no one else's civil rights are violated through this surveillance? Like, I understand, you know, obviously perpetrators, their information is captured and.
Correct.
But how do we ensure that regular everyday residents who are going on about their business, how do we ensure that their civil rights or their right to privacy is not violated?
Right, absolutely. So the criteria for a Star Chase deployment, it wouldn't be for like an infraction, right? So if a vehicle rolls through a stop sign, that's not a Star Chase candidate. We're looking at immediate apprehension or things that would normally be authorized by a warrant, but because of the speed and the exigency of the things, we are using the Star Chase as that kind of that middle buffer thing. I can assure you that no one would go out in an infraction scenario and try to deploy the Star Chase. It would be the criteria, would that car flee from us? Would we pursue it? If the answer is yes, then we can use Star Chase as that mitigating factor to prevent that pursuit.
I guess my question is more so, while we may have a particular suspect or mm-hmm. someone who is committing a crime and the technology is working, obviously there are other things that will be picked up in pursuit or while you're surveilling someone. Someone may be in their backyard and enjoying themselves. Someone may be on the street enjoying themselves. How are we ensuring that? Because the surveillance will pick up things that are not intended.
Well, speaking only on the, I'm sorry.
So how are we protecting those regular residents going on about their day-to-day that might somehow get caught up in the surveillance?
Right. In this instance, the Star Chase itself is just a GPS or a tracker. So no one else outside of that would be involved or would have their civil rights even touched just because we're looking for this specific tracker. Is that answering the question?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. That's clear. Thank you. I don't have any more questions at this time. Do we have anyone here for public comment?
Members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any speaker, general public, or public comment on this matter? There is no public comment on this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. President Mandelman.
Thank you, Chair Walton. Thanks to the department for the presentation. Obviously, since I am a co-sponsor for this, I believe this technology is important and the policy is important. To get this to the full board, I'd like to make a motion that we forward it without recommendation.
Thank you so much, President Mandelman.
Yes, on the motion to refer without recommendation, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Clerk, do we have any more business before us today?
That completes the agenda for today.
Thank you so much. We are adjourned.